Welcome to the Heart Zone, featuring George Cannon. This broadcast is a time of teaching and encouragement from Kerwinsville Christian Church. For more information, we invite you to visit us on the web at www.kerwinsvillechristian.org. And now for a message from the Heart Zone. Here's George Cannon.
All right, guys, what I'd like you to do is we're up to chapter 10 now in John. So if you could turn to John chapter 10 in your Bibles. John chapter 10. Now, again, we are going through the Gospel of John. We've been going through it primarily to meet Jesus, understand who he is, what it means for our lives. But in the process, we're learning about ourselves, and we're learning about those who do not believe. So that's especially true when we've been in this section now, chapter 7 through 12, where we see the hostility that Jesus is facing. And that hostility exists. And the amazing thing is when you read this section, the hostility isn't just coming from average people outside of the people of God. It's actually coming from people who say they are the people of God. Do you understand? When you look at the hostility that Jesus is facing here, it's from the Jewish religious leaders, the people who were to safeguard and to teach the others about God. They're the ones who are upset with him. They're the ones who are rejecting him. They're the ones who are false. And that's kind of where we're going to go with chapter 10 today, because chapter 10 is a kind of a continuation of verse 41. Verse 41 of chapter 9. Remember, Jesus said that he came to give sight to those who are blind, and that he is to make sure that those who think they see become blind. And the Pharisees, if you look at what they say in verse 40, when they heard this, are we blind also? That's the way we would read it, but the actual language would say, are you saying we're blind? It's kind of an arrogant statement, because they supposedly know everything. And Jesus says in verse 41, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. So he's talking about the corruptness of these leaders. And nothing has changed. You and I live in a world today where, whether you realize it or not, we can have leaders that are corrupt, that are doing it for the wrong reasons. We have around us false voices. So that's the first section I'm going to talk about here, false voices. Here's the thing I want you to see, and this is very relevant to what Jesus is going to talk about today. Here's the first thing. There are individuals who seek to prey upon God's people. If you have not realized that at this point, now if you're younger, I can understand where you might not realize that. But if you've been around a while, okay, if you've been stomping around on this earth a while, and especially if you've been stomping around this earth a while and have been in church, you would recognize that there are leaders who emerge, and what they're there for is to prey upon God's people in some way. That's to get something from God's people. Now, here's the interesting thing. It's a historical problem. What do you mean a historical problem? Well, when you read the church fathers, one of the things that they complained about is that Christians tend to be gullible concerning anyone who portrays themselves as a leader and oftentimes get hoodwinked and destroyed and hurt. Because you realize then, because all the effort of all what was being done was not for God's people, although it could appear that way. It was for ego, for self. It's interesting, if you go to, I would challenge you to do this on your own, 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 is a warning passage concerning false teachers. Now, the interesting thing is, most people think that false teachers teach a false message, right? Wouldn't we say that? They're teaching wrong, heretical views, right? But when you go to 2 Peter chapter 2 and read it, He doesn't talk about the teaching of the false teachers. He talks about their lifestyle. He talks about what drives them and motivates them. And it's self. It's what they can get. And about it's all about who? Them, not God's people. And this was true in Jesus' day when he's saying to them that they're blind and they're like, are we blind? You know, he's trying to communicate to them that they're false voices because their prominence in Jewish society as Pharisees or priestly, they were in it for themselves and they were preying on God's people. Here's the second thing I want you to see. Their sole purpose was to benefit themselves at the expense of others. That's their sole purpose. Their sole purpose was to benefit themselves. It is possible, and I've watched it over the last few years, men who were at one time solid get corrupted to where what they were doing became more about them than what it was about God's people. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think if you pay attention to the news, you would realize that what I'm talking about is true, right? These guys, these false voices, their sole purpose is to benefit themselves at the expense of others. That's what the Pharisees were doing. So when Jesus comes along in chapter 9, verse 41, and says, because you say we see, therefore your sin remains, he's getting to the heart of who they are, and then that brings out this, what is now what we call the great I am the great shepherd discussion. But there's a purpose for that discussion. He's going to talk about a true voice in the midst of the false voices. He's going to talk about where our attention should be rather than where we're putting it. Because we have a tendency, let's just be honest, we have a tendency to put our attention on men. And men have clay feet. Men are human, and men make mistakes, and they do wrong. And we need to admit that. We need to acknowledge that. So I want you to notice with me, because in light of this whole issue of false teachers that are portraying themselves as the authority of God's word and judging Jesus, he's going to talk about the true shepherd here. He's going to talk about who he really is. He's going to use an illustration of a sheepfold. Okay, so don't think Ireland, sheep running around the hills. Think Israel today. A little bit dry, arid. Think a cave or maybe a walled area where at night when they bring the sheep in, they bring them into an area enclosed and there's a gate or an opening where someone would be laying to make sure sheep didn't get out or predators get in. And that would be common in their day. And so Jesus is going to use a common illustration to communicate some great spiritual truths here for you and I about the true shepherd who we should be looking to. So let's look at it together. Let's look at verses 1 to 10, chapter 10. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as the thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, and they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. All right, let's look at this. We're going to look at this whole issue of the true shepherd. What does this mean for you and I? What is he trying to say here, especially in light of this issue of the false voices around us? Here's what I want you to see. The first thing Jesus is going to say is this. Jesus is the only one who has the right to lead and guide his people. Jesus is the only one who has the right to lead and guide his people. Period. He's the only one. Jesus said, anybody else who's trying to come into the sheepfold or get to the sheep by some illegitimate means is false. They're a thief. They're a robber. But the shepherd comes through the door to his sheep. I'm the only one, Jesus is saying, that has a right to lead my people. I'm the only one. What is the relevance of that for you and I? Look, folks, I may be a pastor. Jesus is your Lord. George isn't. Did you understand what I'm saying? Jesus is your Lord. No pastor is. So how can you say that? You're a pastor. Well, because Ephesians chapter 4 tells me what my task is. To guide God's people so that they can do the work of the ministry. To train them, to teach them, to guide them. That's not being in charge. And when you look at the structure of a church within God's word, it's always in what? The plurality of leaders, not one single guy. And that's reality here. Because who's the ultimate leader of the church? Jesus. All right, so let's say that. Who's in charge of Kerwinsville Christian Church, folks? Jesus. Not me. Not anybody. It's Jesus. He's the only one who has a right. He's the only one who can lead God's people. And we're going to see how he leads God's people here, because it's interesting what he brings out. He says, second thing there, verse 3 and 4, notice what it says there. He says, to him the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. They hear his voice. And when he brings them out, he goes before them, and the sheep follow, for they know his voice. He's using an illustration that we understand. He's saying, God's people know whose voice? Jesus' voice. The sheep represent God's people here. And when he calls to them, they come out, and he leads them. And he guides them. And the reality is here's the second point I want you to see. Jesus intimately knows his people and they respond to his voice. He knows them. He knows their idiosyncrasies. And they respond to him. So I want you to think about yourself for a moment. You're quirky. I don't like that, George. No, you are. I'm quirky. You're quirky. There's nobody else like you, except you. With your likes, your dislikes, the way you respond to things, how you react to things, with your experiences, with your knowledge, with your upbringing, there is nobody like you but you. You're quirky. You can't cookie cut you. You can't have a church of cookie cutter people. And Jesus doesn't have a sheepfold of sheep that are all alike. And here's the thing, he intimately knows every detail of every sheep in his flock. What does that mean? He intimately knows everyone who's a part of his family. He knows what bothers you. He knows what you are interested in. He knows you. And when you're his child, when he speaks, you know his voice. And you know what I mean by that. Because God doesn't speak to you and, hey, do this. No, he speaks to you quietly in your heart and in your mind. And you know when he speaks, it's him. Because he knows you. And you know him. That's the interesting thing. He knows you. He's the true shepherd. Here's the next thing I want you to see. Here's the reality. When you have that happening, verse 5 and 6 tell us something. Here, look with me. He said, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, Jesus used this illustrations, but they did not understand the things that he spoke to them. Here's the point. His people do not recognize the voice of false leaders and flee from them. So let me just say something to you. You ever been around somebody who says they're a Christian leader? You've listened to them, you sat under them, and somehow you just kind of knew within you that there's something off here. You got red flags exploding in your mind. There's something wrong with the teaching. There's something wrong here. And you can't put your finger on it, but you just sense that things are not right there. And so you find yourself drifting away or going somewhere else. Or have you been there? I've had that feeling. Do you understand what I'm saying? I have experienced that firsthand where